Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Listening to the Clicking Balls 2017 season primer for the St Kilda Saints. My name's Heath, and with me as always is Brenton.
G'day.
And Josh.
Yep.
And we've got our special guest, our Melbourne expert, but he stayed on for St Kilda, Ricky. How you doing, Ricky?
Yeah, good. Being a Melbourne supporter, I'm pretty sure that makes me an expert on St Kilda as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, luckily, my best mate is a St Kilda supporter, so this one's always like our St Kilda correspondent down in the South Australian area of Australia. So this one's an easy one for me to do.
The South Australian area of Australia.
Yeah. Fuck that one up.
Never mind. And thanks, Gaz, for his essay that he's written into us on the Saints. But look at 2016 first. They had 12 wins and finished ninth. It was a little bit unfortunate, I think, in rounds 21 and 22. They just couldn't get over the line to make round 23 the make or break, to make finals. It was already decided. But how would you see their 2016?
Well, I found it was struggling to be consistent across four quarters. Because they had some games where they just let the teams get too far ahead for the first half. And then their resiliency was actually really impressive. Like that was, I think that was a standout,
yeah.
The key point of their... Something they could take out of 2016 was their resilience. So you've got a team there that's not going to give up. It's just a matter of having that game plan that changes across those four quarters so you can stay in the competition and not just give up huge leads at the start.
Well, they were one not 15 call away from playing finals.
Yeah.
So, you know, Hawthorn fucking screwed them over.
Yeah, in round four. Ten and
it was still one win they needed.
If Paddy McCartan kicks straight, we don't bother.
Yeah. And I mean, you could say Essendon fucked them over by giving them Carlisle, then they can sit on the bench for a season two.
Well, to be honest, that hurt. I mean,
definitely.
Essendon deserved it, but I mean, I wonder if he doesn't have to serve his five-game suspension for doing the coke in Vegas.
Oh, I don't know.
That kind of went away, remember that?
Yeah, let's be honest. I think they've just forgotten about that.
I think they have gone, you know what, mate, you said it. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Might be penalty enough playing him.
Yeah, it's been a slow build the last couple of years since Richardson took over at the Saints. And I think, what'd you say, Josh, they finished 14th up to 9th or 12th up to 9th? In consecutive years or thereabouts?
14th to 9th. And just as an idea of the turnaround, I was just reminded that at the start of 2015, David King, who's not the brightest pundit, but not the worst, suggested that they'd be struggling to win a game. So he turned out to be quite wrong.
Yeah.
But it's just...
There's many other shit teams around.
Yeah, you know, right? But they got 6 wins in 2015, so he was wrong 6 times. But it just shows the sort of aura around St Kilda at that stage where there wasn't a lot of expectation.
Well, 6 wins 2015, 12 wins this year, so they're due for 24 wins this year.
It would seem so, yeah.
Yeah.
But I like the way Richo went about it as well. I think he did what needed to be done a long time ago with St Kilda and just put in that, I mean, it's not a rebuild, it's just almost a revolution of what their theory of recruiting and keeping players on was, because Holden's are people who were very valued club players, but not fitting a role in their future. So I think they've cleared out that, and their recruiting and their ability to set up draft picks for the future has been probably second to none.
And get the most out of their veterans. Like, honestly, in 2015, I thought Rebot was done.
Oh, yeah, I've called it many times, and he just keeps on bouncing back. Like, put him out to stud already, Jesus.
I think he's got a couple of kids. I don't know if he's got any boys yet.
Yeah.
But he needs to work on
keep
that.
Trying.
He's got a boy.
But when it came to the rebuild for the Saints, they got value, I think, out of trading on Goddard and Del Santo. You know, sold at the right time. Whereas you look at, you know, we've got Hawthorn and North Melbourne sitting here where our club legends essentially went for nothing. Well, literally nothing when it went to North.
I'm still not over that.
Yeah.
Ferrito, Del Santo, Petrie. Yeah, I can understand moving them on, but I'm still hoping Boomer comes back.
Yeah,
he's trying.
Yeah. So we'll have a look at the Saints. Their off-season, they've said goodbye to one more legend, and that was Sam Fisher. I always liked Sam Fisher because he was undersized, and the Saints have been screaming out for a tall backman for, it feels like, a decade.
Yeah.
And they haven't had one, and he's had to play that role.
Yeah, and I mean, well, they got Carlisle in, who could fill in that role and takes a seat out. Also, Hugh Goddard, they were trying to get him into a key backman role, but it was always tough for him to get a role, to be honest. But I think they've rectified that.
But Sam Fisher, a servant of the club for well over 10 years and called time. It's going to be interesting how that back line works without him, because he was the general down there as much as anything.
Yeah, well, it's always going to be tight. Well, it was very obvious that they had a hole in the back line that they just couldn't fill, and they had Goddard there, Brennan Goddard, for a while, but he's still better off if you push him down the field a little bit.
Yeah.
But now they're starting at a pretty tight contest for their back line, which is just going to be handy, but also it's going to tighten up some spots as well. So they've going to have the luxury of people fighting for positions, whereas before they were trying to find people to fill positions.
The other out I've got written down here is Eli Templeton, who was almost there. It seemed his career was almost there.
Yeah.
But they've let him go in the off-season as well.
He was the Dyson Heppel without the skills, wasn't he?
A little bit, yeah. But they always said, oh, yeah, he'd show flashes of it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, he's going to be something.
Yep.
And then it'd be next week, an ordinary game, back to the VFL.
Yeah.
All about the hair.
All about the hair. On their ends, St Kilda continue their tradition to try and get every Jack in the league.
Yeah.
So they've got Jack Steele across from GWS,
yep.
Which has pissed off anybody else that wanted a Jack, and also Carlton.
Yeah, well, it's a great little pickup because he's known for his hard and underwork and tested possessions was one of his fortes. And so that allows them to free up like the likes of Weller to play an outside playmaking role, plus take some pressure off Armitage and the rest of their midfield. So I think he's one to watch this season.
And Kobe Stevens, who's another handy addition. Not going to be a star, but if he's your 19th or 20th best player, you're going to be happy enough.
Yeah, exactly.
With a name like Kobe, surely he's got a basketball background.
One can only hope. With a name like Stevens, maybe he grew up around dairy farms. Don't know what Stevens has got to do with dairy farms, but it fits in with the rest of the narrative. And when you're talking key backman, they got Nathan Brown across from Collingwood.
Yeah.
Who's handy. Oh, I quite like Nathan Brown. He's an honest player.
Definitely.
He's not going to dominate or contend for All-Australian, but he's going to, a key forward that would kick 10 goals is probably going to kick 5 on him.
Yeah, well, I mean, with Carlisle coming back in and you've got Brown coming across and you've got Sam Gilbert and Sean Dempster who are going to be a bit iffy to fill these roles now, which is going to be handy.
Well, yeah, Gilbert needs pressure.
Yeah.
Because he can make some of the dumbest decisions I've ever seen.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. Also, they got their rookie Ben Long, who apparently has been playing well. He's one to watch. They don't know if I think he won a flag with Footscray in the VFL.
I did really?
Last year. Yeah. So coming out of some momentum, he's someone that is to keep your eye on as well.
What about little Savage? I don't mind him down the back line there.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. They've finally got the position now where they can have people competing for spots down the back line instead of having to pull people out of their back line. And this should allow Robertson to be able to be freed up, because we went to watch lots of Saints games last time and Robertson was a bit of a liability when he had to be a key backman.
Yeah.
Like he finally got lost a bit, but now I think that'll allow him to play across half back line and push forward, which is a role we've seen that is pretty much mandatory to be able to match up against teams like Bulldogs and the fast running teams, Port Adelaide and Freo and teams like that.
Freo fast running still, you think?
Well, they've recruited fast little players.
Yeah.
Just kind of like St Kilda have too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like the comparison. And obviously St Kilda supporters are going to like giving it to Freo because of the Ross line.
Yeah.
of course. I think that's going to be good matchups when they play Freo this year.
Yeah.
Looking at 2017, their double ups are Melbourne, West Coast, North Richmond and the Swans. The Swans. That's a rough...
It is pretty tough double ups for them.
Yeah.
Because... they've got no walk-ins. None of those games are walk in the park. The Northern Melbourne ones, if they're going to play finals, they need to win those double-ups.
Yeah.
Well, Melbourne's a great litmus test for them because they're sort of at the same period of their development.
Yeah.
And they've got those young guns just ready. They're probably a year or two older at St Kilda than they are at Melbourne.
Yeah, I thought they were... thought they were around the same, being a Melbourne supporter, being that they were sort of around the same level, and then we played... Melbourne played Carlton in the JLT and smashed them 60 to 120 or whatever it was, and then St Kilda played them after that and absolutely demolished them. So I sort of looked at it and went, they might be a bit ahead of us.
I think they're very similar in the way that they've come up at the same time. Like Hickey is a good ruckman. He's underestimated, I think, a lot of the time. He's no Max Gawn.
Yeah.
But
he dominated yesterday against Sydney.
Yeah, he's going to have a breakout year, I think.
Yeah.
Revolt, being a brilliant player, he's just not a player you can hope to have. He's a once-in-a-generation talent.
Yeah.
But he's actually now a little bit of a luxury because of their forward line.
Yeah, so look at Membry. He's
playing on the wing.
Yeah.
Josh Bruce.
Well, that's just it. Will St Kilda play him in the midfield?
Yep.
I reckon.
Put him on the wing, I reckon.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
The old Richo role.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Because, like you said, Membry's been one that's kind of forgotten with Bruce coming through, and also Weller doing some things in the forward line as well.
Yeah.
They've still got some talent there to back it up as well. So, like I said, a luxury. Yeah, Paddy McCartan.
Jack Billings, he's had a few good games too.
Yeah,
exactly. That's how they were playing him last season. You know, they had Rue going all up and down, all around the ground.
Yeah.
And he's done that his whole career, which is just run everyone off their bloody legs.
Exactly, he'll run himself ragged.
And he just kept doing that. And then, you know, I almost was ready to tip him for the Brownlow the way he was going early in the season.
Yeah, tell you what, you could do
worse. Was it injuries that sort of held him back a bit?
His leg.
Around the middle of the season. Then he came back, and then the last game of the season, he
kicked nine.
He kicked nine goals, had
it was a bit of an all-star game.
Possessions, 200 marks, and I don't know what was
And he could have
on.
Only had one leg at that point.
Yeah.
Because remember that photo of mid-season where his legs side by side, and one was twice the size of the other one. It was just ridiculous.
The knee,
It looked like a fake leg.
And I think they showed the amount of fluid he has to drain after every game.
Hmm.
I think the good thing that St Kilda have done is they've given Riewoldt what he should be, and that is, you tell us when you're finished.
Yeah.
He can play next year if he wants to.
Yep.
Whether he wants to or not is, you know, another thing. But they've said, you know, you've bled for the club, you've been here when we were good, and you've been here when we were shit, and you're still here. Guarantee he's being offered bigger money elsewhere throughout his career.
Oh, for sure.
So they've gone, you know what? You tell us when it's time, Roo. And that's really good to see because he's not costing them flags. He's not costing anybody else a spot.
Yep.
He's good enough. You know, it's not just
too easy.
His versatility means that he's not a stay-at-home forward. So
exactly.
He would get pushed out of that spot.
Yep.
He's not a half-backman or something. He, you know, might get pushed out of that spot. It's kind of his versatility means that you can just use him wherever you need him at any point of a game.
Yep.
You know, if your back line's having trouble, you drop him back there. Your forward line's not getting some goals through, move him back up there. Play him on the wing.
That's
bloody dangerous to have a player of that caliber. It's just a luxury.
Yeah, and you force the other team to have to adjust and to cover him because he's a very hard person to cover when he's not just playing that true forward line role.
Yep.
Like, if you got him down back and your forward line has to be accountable for him pushing through lines as well, which otherwise he'll tear you apart.
Yeah,
anybody, like a cheat code player. Like, if you're playing PlayStation, you're like, all right, make him tall, make him run all day, make him take marks, kick goals, fucking everything.
Like Michael Vick.
It's like, you can max out everything except you're going to have to drain one stat. His is just like, I don't know, like injuries or something like that. Like,
no.
Left knee.
Set shots on goal.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Let's
actually.
Be honest. They're not that great.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've said that about a lot of key position forwards in the past, like Casbolt, Cloak.
Wait,
Jerry Waite. And so the obvious solution is to take them out of the goal square. And we've said for all the others, put them to centre half back and see what they can do.
Yeah.
With Riewoldt, they've done it. They've put him on the wing.
Yeah.
And he's still going to kick goals.
Right. Yeah.
But even when you say that, he's not that bad a shot at goal. So he's not.
No, he's not Cloak level. Or
he's not in the
Casbolt
sort of category. He's like, oh man, that's missed a couple, but he's taking marks that no one else can get to.
Exactly,
he's doing things like that. So. You know, it's a weakness in comparison to his huge abilities in other areas.
Well, when you're shooting for goal, the supporters are saying he should get this. Whereas with Cloak, they just close their eyes and go, fuck, this could go anywhere.
Well, the other thing as well with their double-ups is that you got two big teams, West Coast and Swans, the interstate teams. And one thing we've noticed is that interstate teams haven't really got the head around how to play Etihad properly.
Yep.
So I'd like to see how they can play on the return leg. I'd like to see the return leg of those games and see how they play at Etihad Stadium. Because I think the Saints will be a sneaky to just get those ones through.
And I think you were saying before, Ricky, that Melbourne haven't beaten Saints at Etihad in the best part of a decade or thereabouts.
Yeah, it's just been insane.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's how these interstate sides play Etihad against Saints. But I think more importantly is how Saints travel. Because I think last year their losing margin average away from home was closer to 10 goals.
Damn.
So, you know, there's been a few times where teams got out in front and have gone, oh, fuck this.
Yeah.
You look at West Coast in that season, they got beaten by Hawthorn in the grand final. You might remember that.
2015. Do you want to talk about it?
But, you know, they they got the majority of their wins with home games. So, you know, the power of that's, you know, it gets you a long way, and then you just have to eke out a few in the travel.
Exactly. Was that before or after Sam Mitchell, West Coast legend, won a Brownlow? It was around that era.
It was both before and after. Interesting enough. It was Schroeder's Brownlow medal.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So who's going to have a big year for the Saints?
Well, my inside knowledge tells me that one to watch out is Blake Akers.
Yeah.
I think that what St Kilda have done is there's three main points that they've fixed their, well, they've attempted to fix their backline holes they have. Time will tell how that works out, but they've done everything right. Also, they need tough inside mid players that can free up their playmakers. I think Akers and Steele are two of the ones they've got in to do that role. Akers finished off last year pretty strong. He was averaging 22 disposals over the last five games.
Yep.
Against tough teams. And so that allows like Armitage and Stevens to be able to play a little in the outer and not have so much attention on them. So he's one to look out for, and Jack Steele as well.
For me, it's Hickey. I think he could really set the tone there. If he can pretty much look at what Max Gawn's doing and go, all right, I'll do that, they could have a very good season.
Yeah.
Oh, we know he's a Jet already, but Jack Steven,
Yep.
If you haven't seen, he's got a nice moustache and a mullet thing going on at the moment. And nice. I think that look just tells you he's ready to go to another level.
The Fraser Garrick look.
It'd be worse, I think.
I'll put down Hickey as well. And like we keep saying with some of the other ones, the changes in the ruck rules means ruckmen are going to be even more important this year than they have ever been.
Yep.
And the way he dominated, again, it was only a preseason. I hate putting too much stock in preseason form, but he dominated against Sydney yesterday, not just in the hitouts. I think he was the leading possession getter.
Yeah.
To have your ruckman being your leading possession getter and then be able to hit the scoreboard as well, geez, that adds a few strings to your bow.
Yeah.
Well, I think with the rule changes, what we are going to see this year is a very, very important ruck position.
Yeah.
Across the whole thing.
Yeah.
So ruckmen that can move and get their own ball are going to be so valuable. So if a ruckman goes down and they don't have backup, it's going to hurt a lot of teams. And I think if Hickey can stay injury-free, they're going to look very good. Yeah. But if he starts to develop some sort of niggle.
He's at the right age, too, for a ruckman to emerge.
Exactly,
He's been around for a few years, so.
Does anyone know their depth, their ruck depth?
Short,
very, very short. Yeah, they don't have much, which is why Hickey was such a revelation. Played out of his skin, better than what I expected him to do. But that's what I need, is another backup from him. Another one they got is Jay Gresham, his second-year player. I made his debut last year, obviously. He played TSC Cup. I think he was captain of Northern Territory or somewhere like that.
Who did he kick the winning goal against? Was that Geelong?
I can't remember. Can't remember who it was. But
bit of a freak guy.
Yeah, and he came through the ranks as a midfield player, but during the JLT they've been looking at a small forward role for him because obviously the midfield's kind of filled out a bit now. So he'll be absolute gun. Still needs to be a bit more efficient with his kicking or decision making. Like, he still had a fair few clangers last year, but he's one to definitely keep an eye on. That's going to be one who didn't quite make the midfield role, but might find himself finding his role in the forward line as a small forward.
Well, we haven't touched on Lee Montagna either. So much at the moment. I think he's really a very much a yardstick by how the team goes.
Yeah.
Fantastic player. And if he can actually, take that next step and play a bit more of a leadership role, I think he could do very well.
Well, his age, you're probably actually wanting to see him pushed out of the team.
Yeah, well, this is true.
If he plays 12 games... Yeah. I think that's not a bad thing for the Saints.
But he made himself useful last year. Because when we were watching the games, you noticed he... he'd be the player that should be the second person to receive the ball from a goal kick out.
Yeah.
Whereas because they were so thin the back line, he'd have to push all the way back just to fix up the fuck ups they were making around the full back line. And so you can see him get pissed off, like, this is my role, this isn't what I should be doing. I should be receiving this and we should be going out and pushing forward. And so I think now that they've got the Carlisle back and they've got their back line possibly sorted out, watch him to be able to play much more of a proper midfield role, not have to go back and pick up the backline roles.
Running off Nathan Brown and Jake.
And the same goes for Robertson as well. Robertson, he can do that.
Yeah. And running out this year with a new captain as well. Very interesting for the Saints. So Ruiz handed it over.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see how he goes without that extra burden. He can just enjoy his last season or two seasons, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
So who's on the chopping block then for the Saints?
Well, like we mentioned, it's going to be tough getting that backline roles for Sam Gilbert and Sean Dempster. Dempster might have first crack because... Gilbert might get first crack because he's a bit younger, so he might be able to be a bit more malleable going into that role. But it's always going to be tight because they got Nathan Brown in as well. So I think him and Dempster, one's going to be having to prove their worth in that back line. But you never know. If those recruits come in aren't very good, it could make Dempster and Gilbert look better.
Well, because of age, it's Montagna as well, I'd say.
It's a farewell tour for Montagna.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, though, because he's been a pretty damn good player for them. Yeah. He's undersized sort of a guy who's played with incredible toughness and everything like that. You're like, actually, you know, as a Melbourne supporter, I've seen him give us a lot of hell over the years. He's a real problem for us, usually. It'd be sad to see him on the way out, but that's when you know your team's doing well, when a player of that caliber.
And he walks into a media career straight away. He's really good. I really like him when he does his bits on 7 and 9.
Hopefully he'll take Brian Lake's job, because he's shit.
I quite like Brian Lake. He was shit the first week, but afterwards, when he was actually saying like tactics and what they do, I thought he was really interesting. Yeah. Maybe not as a boundary rider, but yeah.
Chat to him at the AFL MVP night, and he was doing a little bit of thing on the side there, and, you know...
Cocaine.
And those sorts of things, he adds something that the other players, him and Cooney, actually, they sort of do something that a lot of ex-players don't do in the media, you know, they don't...
They're honest.
I don't like it as boundary rider when the footy's on and stuff like that, but when you're outside footy, they get a bit of entertainment going and things like that.
Yeah. Well, Lake looks like someone you can sit down, have a beer with and a laugh, you know what I mean? It'll be easy conversation.
Just not too many.
Well, no, I mean, you'd have a lot of beers and a lot of laughs. That's exactly what I'm getting at.
So Cooney, I think it'd be a great bloke to have a beer with. I'm worried with Lakey, you'd end up, you know, hijacking a crane or something.
Well, I mean, that's par for most AFL teams.
Do it for the story.
Ending up at Dane Swan's house.
Or Dane Swan's pub.
Needing an alibi.
I've put down Jason Holmes as well. Only because he's been around for a little while. Yeah, and, you know, great story, the American import and everything. And seems like a fantastic guy. But there's only so many years you can go on within an experiment before you have to show your worth.
Yeah.
Jack Dorr disagrees.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the other end of the spectrum, where he's had 6 years now.
Yeah.
And I think he's in trouble this year. Whereas Jason Holmes, I think this will be his third year or fourth year.
To be around there, yeah, yeah.
So you got to start, it's great. It's a great story. It's great PR. He's an absolute monster of a human.
Yeah.
His athleticism.
Human.
Amazing athleticism.
Quotation marks.
And I think the couple of games he has played, has not been tentative at all.
Yeah.
He has dived in head first, and that's fantastic. But the footy smarts have got to come.
Yeah.
Even for a ruckman.
Well, that's why I'm wondering what they're sort of weighing that against for, like, the PR marketing benefits of side of things as well. Yeah. Like, how much do they actually get out of it on that side of things compared to, I mean...
Oh, their amount of American members must be...
I think AFL Live Pass has got at least 10 new members.
The rule change has got to help him out too. With a bloke his size, he knows he's not having
to worry about the
back.
One.
Yep.
He just has to look at the bloke in front of him and scare the shit out of him, which... Yep. Know, there's got to be a few ruckmen who are going to be short.
And like we said, ruck stocks aren't thick. At the Saints. So he's going to get an opportunity. I mean, if I was at Saints, I'd still give him one more year anyway, regardless. But if he took that next step up, it's certainly going to help his cause.
Yeah, yeah.
And the sneaky name around St Kilda, I reckon, is Seb Ross as well. He's a player who bobs up and plays lethal games from time to time, which, again, they're kind of at this point where they've got some guys that can have the luxury of doing
it. Yeah. And when you look at how they've managed to acquire draft picks for the future. Some people got to be pretty nervous about what their role is going to be going forward, because the Saints have done very, very well out of the trade season without actually getting a pick in like this current draft.
Well, I think they've got, in this coming up draft, they've got Hawthorne's first pick.
Yep.
And Hawthorne are going to slide down the ladder compared to what, they won't be top four.
Exactly, yeah.
So that pick, you know, potentially can be another top 10 pick.
Yep.
Which just really says that St Kilda were very shrewd at the trade table, and, you know, I think, from memory, the trade that they made to secure that pick was sort of within 15 minutes,
right? Yep.
From when they opened the door to when the deal was signed.
Yeah, well, it was coming down the crunch. That's what played in favour as well.
Of course,
Hawks needed Jaeger.
But you still got to have the balls to make that move.
Yep.
Even if it is falling into your lap.
Yep.
Which says that the back of house stuff, which they've needed to sort out, they've done really well with.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much, they've finally done what Mark and Blight told them to do fucking ages ago.
They got him sacked.
I'm sure there's lots more that got him sacked too.
We got more on the chopping block there. I think the coach is safe. Obviously, they've been building nicely.
Yeah.
Look, worst case scenario, if things falls out, he's not going to lose his job.
Yeah.
Well, I still think finals is what they're aiming for.
Yeah.
But if they fall short again, do the Richmond finish ninth, I don't think that puts a shit ton of pressure on the coach.
No. But what you want is that with that strengthened mid-tier talent they've got, you want people to be fighting for those spots, so you want the chopping block to be pretty busy.
I'm going
to
see that happen.
Yeah, and so one of the things, it'll be interesting to see how Brown goes in a new team now.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a bit more of a leadership role as well, I'm guessing, in this team. So I think that's going to be sort of the linchpin of where everyone else will fall into place, because they've definitely got talent there. They're going to be there or thereabouts to play full-time senior roles.
You do talk about Brown a fair bit, but there's a reason I think Collingwood let him walk.
Yeah.
And his disposal is questionable.
Yeah.
In this game, the way it's played now, you want to try and get out of the back line with some average disposals, and you end up like Collingwood did last year, which is just turning the ball over left, right and centre. So, you know, maybe he'll work out for him, maybe be a liability.
Yep.
Well, there's plenty of... Unfortunately, there's a shit ton of backmen with shit disposal quality. A backman who can hit targets is worth the weight in gold.
Mm.
So maybe they can turn him into that. I would like to see it happen, because I want to see, no, that's possible.
Yeah, but I think that's what puts Sam Gilbert under pressure, because he's the same thing. Like, his decision-making and disposal can be atrocious at times. Vickery-like. So him and Brown is going to be interesting, because I don't think you can afford to have both in the same side for that reason.
Yep.
So where do we see him finishing in 2017?
Well, I've got them making quite an improvement up to sixth spot. I think all things, if they can keep the injuries to a minimum and their potential is shown with the players that, or they build on the potential they showed last year, and players like Billings, Nunes, Ross and Dunstan, they're the ones that have got to keep on improving. The ones that already showed they've got it. So if that mid-tier talent keeps up, I think they can make a strong run in the finals, backed by a pretty decent draw as well.
See, I've got them 11th, because I think this is going to be pretty much a 12-month preseason for them.
Right.
They're not going to try and run the guts out of it, like, you know, win every match. They're just going to say, all right, our window's not open yet, we know it, so we're just going to build and build until we can get the draft picks, get the team we want, and just really make a fair hammer of it.
Actually, I lied, I actually picked them 8th.
6th, 8th, that region. Just
yeah, but we've got competition on this, so it's going to matter in the end.
I've got them finishing 9th, but at the same time, it would not surprise me if they went higher.
Yeah.
Because... God, you don't like to say it, but they're almost like the Bulldogs last year.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
They don't have that absolute guns.
Yeah.
Rewalt's an absolute gun, but he's, you know, obviously 34 or whatever he is.
Yeah.
But, geez, they're mid-tier players. There are a lot of them, and there is a lot of potential there.
Yep.
A good average.
So what might be a good yardstick is seeing how their VFL team actually pulls through. Is their VFL team?
I don't even know.
Do they have one?
Sandringham
Dragons, yeah.
The Dragons, yeah.
See how they go, because generally the Bulldogs, they had a very good VFL squad, and they've started realising that. Hawks have always had a very strong Box Hill squad, and so that's played their benefits, to be able to have people competing and drop people back, and not losing too much in experience and training when you drop them back to the lower squad. So, yeah, maybe that could be the yardstick.
But I think that their age demographic, their demographics are just right now. They're coming into it, so if it's not this year, like... if we were doing a 2018 primer, finals 100% has to be there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw them in at 7th only because I think they're a little bit above Melbourne.
Yeah.
I called Melbourne at 8th, so that's
maths checks out.
Yeah, that's right. Just a little bit above.
Yep.
But it's been a great build since Richardson's come across, though.
It has been. And especially with everything else that's been going on in AFL, they've been just going about the business really quietly, which must help not having that pressure on you as well.
Sydney style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But watchable.
Any team works is you've got to hit on the high draft picks.
Yep.
You got to get those right. Yep. If you're not getting them right, you're pretty much screwed.
Yep.
And then you got to find talent in other places. And you know,
exactly.
Weller, the way he played last year was bloody impressive. And they just got guys that are... I don't know where he was drafted. Maybe he was a first-round pick anyway. But
he's from West Australia as well, so they've got some talent from out of there that's actually going to stay in Victoria, which is always tough to do.
And if he convinces his brother to come across, they're laughing.
Yep.
But you make a good point there with their high draft picks, and Paddy McCartan was their big draft pick, if not for some head knocks, we would have seen more of him last year.
Yep.
But now, if you've got him and Josh Bruce both firing,
Membry, that's
a dangerous forward line.
Yeah. It's very dangerous.
You just got to get him to fire.
Tim Membry just sounds like he should be a Liberal senator. Just with that name.
It does, doesn't it?
Tim Membry, senator for Parks. I don't know, obviously, he wouldn't quite fit in with that demographic.
Probably why he's got all them tats.
So I think it's going to be another positive year for the Saints and maybe build into something even bigger in the future. But I think that'll do us. Saints, we look good?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's going to look good for him. Good luck.
All right. Cheers.
Peace. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.